Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about how an orange peel extract can boost your anti-inflammatory ability inside the body, University of British Columbia. Then we're going to talk about the immune system and what happens to allow it to be rebooted at night while you're sleeping, University of Tübingen in Germany. And then how all those anti-acid suppression medications, you see at the ads where a guy's getting smacked in the face and takes the anti-acid, which works right away. Well, some of those are end up causing serious gastrointestinal infections. University of Dundee, which is in Scotland. And foods rich in a resistant starch can benefit your health. British Nutrition Foundation. And yoga can help kids with cancer. So that's important. Children's Medical Center in Connecticut. And a lot more on health and healing. Then we're going to environmental issues, including water scarcity in the Fertile Crescent, The Other War, a special edition by Gary Bush of Op-Ed News. And then we're going to also look at how the FDA manipulates the media. And we're going to take a look at the Larsen C shelf. That's a big shelf. It's the size of Delaware. And it's about ready to break and become the world's largest ever iceberg. To give you an idea of its size, probably 10,000 times as big as the one that sunk the Titanic or more. So why aren't we paying attention? We should be. From our audio file today, how the CIA creates fake news and always has. Who says so? Former director of the CIA says so, and you'll hear that. Also, we're going to look at Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You're going to be listening to John Perkins, who we've interviewed many times on this program, about how it really works. Let us not forget that as of today, we have special operation forces in 136 countries around the world. That means we have hit teams. We have assassination teams. We have people who are in countries that do not represent a threat to America or anyone else. Why are we there? This is costing us over $100 billion a year. Wouldn't you think that money would be better spent in the United States? It would be, but it's not. Why are they there? Never for the reasons they tell you. They lie. He will tell you the truth and how it's always operated. And then the last section of my program today will be talkback. I always like to keep time aside for people who would like to address issues that they find important from anywhere in the United States. Write down this number. A little later, we'll give it to you. It's 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So let's begin. We always like to begin with the latest on health and healing. And in that respect, we're going to look at the orange peel. Now, a long time ago, at the very beginning of my career, I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Pavel Airola and a Dr. Walker. They were the two purest of all the nutrition advocates in the United States, and I got to meet them all. I was very young. Here I am in my young 20s. Here are all these people who had been the voices and the faces and the consciousness of the health movement, but they smoked, they drank. They really, by today's state, none of them had any degrees in health at all or dietetics. But they had wonderful charismatic personalities. And a lot of the information they gave was simply wrong. But not these two. There were some people who were really advocating good health. And I was in Arizona. I was doing a lecture there. And it was based upon my best-selling book called The Complete Handbook of Nutrition. I'd never met them. They were in the audience. In fact, I got the wrong address. I was sitting in a back room in this convention center, or civic center, this huge place, with four people who didn't speak English, and I'm thinking this is all that showed up in this very hot, muggy climate that day. Not true. I was in the wrong end of it. So when I was late, because I didn't know where it was, they got up there and actually started the whole lecture. And the two of them, since they were local people, they had the whole crowd going. So when I walked in the back door and saw this, and there's a photograph of this up on the, someone actually found it. By the way, I've received over 1,000 photographs in the last year that people have taken of all kinds of events, dinners and dance parties and races, and sent them to me. And first of all, I appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. So we're posting those now on my Facebook. So each day, photographs that I have not taken of myself. I'm walking through Central Park, and someone says, "Hey, Gary, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to go do a lecture on the east side. Can we get a picture?" "Sure." So they took a couple pictures of me, then took some pictures. Now, this is, you know, a while ago. And then one day they drop them off my office. So all those old photographs I'm putting up there because many of you will see yourself in some of these photographs. Anyhow, so here I was out there with these two wonderful people, and afterwards they invited me to dinner. And that's where, for the first time, I saw a jar that a teaspoon was taken out, and he said, "This will really revitalize you after a long lecture." It was about 3 hours long. So he put it in a glass and stirred around, and I said, "This tastes kind of bitter, but a very distinct orange." He said, "What is? It's orange peel." And I said, "And what's in the orange peel?" He said, "Well, a lot of the nutrients are in the peel, but also into the white, fleshy part underneath, kind of the dry part, not the flesh." And he said, "That's where you get your bioflavonoids, and that's what keeps your skin healthy and young and helps prevent bruising and varicosities." He was absolutely right. So now jump forward all these years, and the University of British Columbia publishes an article based upon a study, and here's what it says, and I'll quote directly from this. This was published in Food Chemistry. "Obtaining dried citrus peel from the mandarin and tangerines," these were in China, "can provide potentially superior benefits in nutraceuticals and functional foods compared to conventional sources." Now, a functional food is one that has a specific function in the body. For example, if I want to have a healthy intestine and good digestion, I have to have healthy, varied fibers. And the more those fibers represent the roughage from which they originated, the healthier it is. For example, eating blueberries creates a really cleansing of the intestine because it's able to get the gelatin-like qualities, get into all those little folds in the intestine and bring out the debris in there that might otherwise create a pocket in diverticulitis. So that's just one example. So it has a function. Coenzyme Q10 helps feed your heart, your brain, helps prevent heart attacks. So these are functional. And evidently, there's a long history in China of using foods like the orange peel extract that has all these flavonoids, including a specific flavonoid called a flavonone. It's PMF, polymethoxylated flavonoids. They're high in oxygen capacity, and anything that creates a oxygen capacity with the body, like exercise, is good, and living foods, good, juice is great, and that helps us. And they also are rich in what are called phenolics, and providing antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-carcinogenic, anti-atherosclerosis activities. So, let's summarize. By having the orange peel, specifically of the mandarin and the tangerine, the skins, and you could just juice them. I mean, just cut up the tangerine and juice the whole tangerine. Cut up the mandarin orange and juice the whole orange. You're helping your heart. You're helping prevent cancer. You're helping increase antioxidants, which trap free radicals and neutralize them. And the more free radicals you trap, the less oxidative damage to the cell. the less oxidative damage to the cell, then the less capacity that cell to become cancerous or defective. That's why I suggest having antioxidants about 6 times a day. Because if you have it 6 times a day, for 24 hours a day, the body is trapping extra free radicals and otherwise be speeding up the aging process. Now, then we have a new study from the University of Tübingen in Germany talking about sleep. Researchers there found that they gained brand new insights in how the immune system restores itself during sleep. And what they found was that working with people who are average about 25, when they slept through the night, and again when they stayed awake at night, meaning they didn't get good sleep, and they took levels of T cells, these T helper cells, which are white blood cells that are the foundation of our entire immune system. So the healthier T cells, your white blood cells, the healthier your body. And when the participants got a good night's sleep without waking up, the levels of all their T cells were within a really high level of health. But when they didn't, the T cells dipped. So they also found the previous research suggests they accumulate in lymph nodes. And this was published in the American Journal of Physiology. So the rapid fall in T cell levels in the blood during sleep shows that, quote, even when one night without sleep affects the adaptive immune system. That's important to know. Quote, this might be one reason why regular sleep is so important for general health. And this was done at the Department of Medical Psychology and Behavioral Neurobiology at the university. So what's the takeaway message? Americans do not, as a whole, get a good night's sleep. There are multiple reasons. One, and probably the single most valid reason of all, is stress. People do not process the stress adequately during the day, so they take it to bed with them and they think about their problems, and that keeps them awake. Secondly, when you're stressed, you create cortisol, which is your fight-or-flight hormone, and that means, like it or not, you're going to stay awake when you are anxious, angry, or when you have insecurity and fear. Your body is, the cortisol is putting the foot on the accelerator, and yet you want to go to sleep, so you're trying to put the foot on the brake at the same time. That creates an imbalance in hormones in the body. Instead, write out, as I've said many times, write out what you want to deal with, how you want to deal with it, what you want to say, what you want to do, in some priority list at night. It might take you 5-10 minutes, and set that on the bedside table or your desk and turn off all electronic equipment. Don't just have it off. Unplug it. And that way there's no electromagnetic pulse, which could also be interfering with the brain chemicals. And then make sure you get earplugs if there's noise, or an eye, soft eye cover if there's light. Don't have anything within 3 hours going to bed in the way of a carbohydrate that may keep you up, and you should get a good night's sleep. If that doesn't work, take 1 milligram of melatonin and 5-hydroxytryptophan. Those two will generally put you to sleep and get you a good night's sleep. So all that means you're going to have a healthier immune system. And that immune system can be adversely affected with just one night of bad sleep. So we want good sleep. And from the University of Dundee in Scotland, the acid suppression medications linked to serious gastrointestinal infections. In a population-based study, they use commonly prescribed acid suppression medications. And what they found was it actually increased intestinal infections with a Campylobacter bacteria, which can cause considerable illness. It could kill you. And and this was published in the Journal of Clinical Pharmacology, stop eating high-acid foods, and especially anything that has caffeine and is carbonated, because that really plays havoc with your gastrointestinal fluids. So if you give up coffee and soft drinks, if you stop with the high-acid foods and heavily cooked foods, if you go towards fresh juices, apple juice, orange juice, grapefruit juice, tomato juice, those are all good for you. And if you want to calm down the stomach, cabbage juice heals ulcers. Cabbage juice heals much of what goes wrong in the intestine. If you want to really super duper, add aloe vera, the whole leaf aloe vera extract, to the cabbage juice, and then put cinnamon in there, like an eighth of a teaspoon of cinnamon. Then you've got something really good going on. Otherwise, you could end up taking an antacid type medication and end up with a serious infection. And they're finding from a new study that there are certain fibers. These fibers are called resistant fibers, meaning they're rather tough fibers and they really don't break down as easily as other fibers. And we need some of these. And what they're suggesting here is, for good health, make sure you're having some of the fibers that last longer. And why? Because resistant starch is a type of dietary fiber that increases the production of short-chain fatty acids in your gut. And there have been numerous human studies reporting its impact upon different health outcomes. And this was published in Nutrition Bulletin. And they're talking about the positive markers in the body when you're having these fibers. Now, where do you get these fibers? Well, if you have bananas, potatoes, and grains and legumes, that's where you get them. So having a good vegan diet, you're getting them. And finally, children who have cancer, if they get into a yoga program, it can help them with their overall cancer treatment. It improves quality of life. The kids are able to relax, stretch, increase their overall sense of well-being. Quote, our findings support the notion that yoga for pediatric cancer patients during active treatment is feasible and potentially helpful in improving both patient and parent well-being. So that's something new and something important. And that's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now, pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now.
I'd like to welcome all of you. Our number to call in for your talkback segment today is 888-874-4888. And I'll be looking forward to taking your calls probably in about 10 minutes because we have a lot of more information on the environment. And then we're going to hear an audio clip and then we'll take your calls. But before then, one day a week, we like to offer a special, and all the proceeds from this special go to fund the Progressive Radio Network. And if you've noticed, in all the years we've been on the air, you don't have anyone else having to take time so they can have their full program, and that's good. Now, what I'm offering today is, I believe, one of the single most important things we can take in. Why? What's the number one disease in the world? Heart disease. In America, heart disease. And you can divide heart disease up from stroke to congestive heart failure, from atherosclerosis, arteriosclerosis, cardiomyopathy, and all of its various clogged arteries. Now, why? I wrote a book on this. I did a documentary on it several years ago. And in doing all the research, I found that 90, from my perspective, 96% of all heart disease is preventable. Why? Because when we have a diet that principally is an animal-based diet, high in arachidonic acid and trans fatty acids, high in refined carbohydrates, French fries, pizzas, those are refined carbohydrates, sugary foods, soft drinks, that this is all pro-inflammatory it's terrible for the heart and the arteries and your blood pressure, the amount of sodium we consume. So my first suggestion is always get on a healthy, organic, plant-based diet. Reduce overall calorie consumption to your body's actual needs. Juicing throughout the day, very important. Exercising, extremely important. Keeping a normal body weight. Having a low percentage of body fat. Mine is real low. Again, I'm not asking people to be as low as I am with body fat because I've been exercising every day my entire life since I was a kid. But if a man were at 10%, you're great. If a woman's at about 12%, you're terrific. When you start getting up in the high teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s, not good, because you can actually draw a chart between how much body mass index or fat that you have and your lifespan. And this contributes to overweight being a contributor to diabetes and heart disease and cancers and depression. So exercising, keeping a good body weight, keeping your blood sugar normal by not having all these refined foods, de-stressing. This is the antidote to heart disease. If we did this, we'd be in much healthier shape. So I decided to do a product. I invent my own products from scratch. I was the first to do a green product with multiple vegetables and then a red product. Of course, I didn't do any marketing. It was just a small number of people in my audience who knew about this. And the others had made, you know, gazillions selling this stuff, and that's fine. Good for them. But I know what goes into my products. I know how challenging it is to find the best quality sources. Sometimes I'm out of a product for 3 or 4 months. Why? Because where other people can produce a million jars and do it in China with stuff that you have no idea where it was grown, how it was grown, was there pig manure used, human manure used, how old is it? I know that the finest original sources imaginable are being purchased. And for years and years and years, for decades, everything in green stuff was grown out in Utah in a 7,000-acre organic farm up in the mountains. That was a hassle to get the rabbi there. You have no idea how much it cost and how we had to go through hoops to make sure we got it. And then it was only there for part of the year because the rest of the year you can't grow a lot of stuff. So I go to great, great lengths to see that an ingredient is as pure, as potent, and then as high a quantity as I feel it's needed to make a difference in the body. Where a lot of products, oh, they have beautiful labels, great multi-level marketing, lots on ads, they become infomercials. But then you actually ask them, how much of this ingredient did you actually have in the product? 2 or 3,000 milligrams? Oh, 2 or 3 milligrams. I see. So you have nothing potent in there. It looks good on a label, but the average person doesn't know what it means. So I put enough ingredients in there to make a difference. So when you're getting one of my products, you know you're getting something that's potent, that is functional, that is highest quality. It's the Rolls Royce. It sets the standard. And yet I don't have a multi-level, infomercial, you know, advertising anything. If you're lucky enough to hear this show, you'll know about it, but otherwise you wouldn't. So when I create something, I do it for purpose. I test it extensively. I look for the greatest ingredients. And that's what I've done with this new product called Cardio Stuff. Cardio Stuff versus vegan. It's non-GMO and it's kosher. Because we have a lot of observant Jews in the audience. And they want things that are kosher and at the highest standards. And we have a lot of people who want it the best possible amounts, and so we give it. For example, in here, you're getting the best possible ingredients. What are you getting? Well, you're getting organic oatmeal. You're getting the brown rice bran. You're getting oat bran. You're getting a red wine extract. You're getting flaxseed, which is cold-pressed. I don't see anyone else doing that. You're getting sunflower lecithin. They're using soy lecithin. I'm using sunflower lecithin. Papaya, blackberries, bananas, hawthorn berries, grape seed extract, ginkgo biloba, panax ginseng, cayenne, apples, cacao, green tea, decaffeinated green tea, blueberries, pomegranates, almonds, flaxseed oil, which is the omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin C, turmeric extract, curcumin, vitamin E, reishi mushrooms, coenzyme Q10, quercetin, resveratrol, and stevia as a sweetener with magnesium citrate, potassium citrate, organic inulin, and in a natural cacao flavor. So it tastes like chocolate. And I use chocolate for two reasons. A, because chocolate is one of the most powerful, potent, and extraordinarily important foods, sources you can take into your body. Look at all the scientific literature. So if you were to take any of the ingredients, let's say you were to take curcumin and you Google it and Google anything that it does, proven in peer-reviewed literature, you think, ah, my goodness, I didn't know there were many studies on curcumin. Wow, now I know why Gary selected curcumin to use in his cardio stuff. But it's expensive to get that. And that's why a lot of people won't use it. So is reishi mushrooms. But I know what reishi mushrooms do. I saw the literature, coenzyme Q10, resveratrol. I know what they do. So there's no one else who's ever come up with anything even comparable to this. It's 500 grams. That's a large container. And it's cardio stuff. So if you care about your health, every day I would have one scoop of cardio stuff. Now, I make no claims. I never have, and I won't, except this claim. I don't know of any other product on the market today from anyone that has been able to duplicate what I've done with cardio stuff. And if someone does try it, then you better look very carefully at their sourcing, their potencies, because mine are. And remember, I've actually run out of product and stayed out of the product until those ingredients in the amounts I want, the quality and purity I want, are back in value. So if they want to go buy it someplace else, a similar type of product where they have no idea where this stuff was grown, no idea what the potency is, no idea whether it's organic, no idea if it's loaded with heavy metals, fine. Save yourself a buck and go buy it. But if you want the best of the best on the planet, done by real scientists, by a real scientist, where science backs it up, purity, potency, power, this is it. Okay? And I control every single step of that processing. And so my goal is only the finest ingredients and the right potency for my audience. That's how it works. That's simple. And we put it on sale. So, cardio stuff. And if you care about your health, you take all the advice I just gave you, and in addition, you add a scoop of cardio stuff on top of that, because I'm not sure everyone's going to do everything that I suggested. So as I once told my mom when I went home to West Virginia, and she had just watched me on Johnny Carson. This is 1972 or 73. And I took her a whole bunch of stuff. And she's, what's this for? I said, well, Mom, are you going to stop smoking 3-pack cigarettes a day? No. You're going to stop drinking? No. You're going to stop eating the meat? No. You're going to go exercise? No. You're going to de-stress? No. Okay, well, that's why I brought it for you. So I'm realistic enough to know that those that we love and those that we cherish don't always do what they should do for their own well-being. So when I create something, I try to create it in mind that the people listening right now may really be conscious and making the right choices. That doesn't mean everyone in their life is doing the same. Even, in fact, it was interesting. I was out for a jog in Central Park, and this person runs in the opposite direction and then stops, comes around, peels up beside me and says, I normally wouldn't do this. I see you running in the park. I don't bother you. But can I ask you a question? I said, sure. And this guy says, look, I've got a daughter who is pregnant, and she's not paying attention to her diet, and I can't suggest anything that she's going to pay attention to because she just resents it. What advice would you give? And I gave him my advice, how to handle people who don't always take our advice. And I explained what happens when you have a developing fetus. I went through the whole physiology and how the maternal blood, the maternal nutrients are the only thing that child is developing from, and why it's important we pay attention to every single thing goes in our body, from the quality of the water. You don't want fluoride in there. You don't want chlorine gases. You don't want anything that's a volatile chemical, that it's a heavy metal that can affect the developing fetus. In addition to that, I said that you want to make sure that you get the right nutrients, right foods, stay away from certain foods, but go heavy on other foods. And I said, but then again, why don't you get her something that she can put into a smoothie in the morning? And that way, if she doesn't take your advice on anything else, if she's having her smoothie, just put everything into the smoothie. And he thought, well, that I hadn't thought about that. And I said, what's her favorite flavor? She likes chocolate. Okay, give her a chocolate smoothie that in the smoothie gives her essential fatty acids, her vitamin D3, B complex, all the different proteins from split pea. And he said, okay, I'm going to try that. Now, hopefully it worked. But sometimes we have to be a little, a little creative in helping people who otherwise would not help themselves. So I believe that cardio stuff will help everyone. And those who actively take it because they want to do something really good, really healthy, really important for their body, you're doing it. But if you want to help someone who's not so keen on stopping anything that's destructive and doing something positive, just tell them, take one scoop. You love chocolate, you'll love this, period. How do you get your cardio stuff? Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Back in a moment, we're going to take a look at Larsen's C shelf in Antarctica. Segment. From our environmental segment from Echo Watch, quote, shocking crack in ice shelf grows another 11 miles. A 70-mile-long crack that's 300 yards wide or 300 feet wide in the Larsen C ice shelf grew another shocking 11 miles just in December alone. That leaves just 12 miles before an iceberg the size of Delaware snaps off into the Southern Ocean. Quote, the Larsen Sea Shelf in Antarctica is primed to shed another area of more than 5,000 square kilometers. So let me just do the math. 5,000 square kilometers, about 3,100 square miles. 3,100 square miles. Following further substantial rift growth. What's this mean? It means that after just, I'm going to say the next 2 to 3 months, that this should break off. And when it breaks off, this will be the largest calving of any piece of ice in our known history. And that is terrible. It means that the rift is averaging about 3 miles per month of growth. Now, will this cause a major rise in ocean level? No. Why? Because most of it's already sitting on the water. It's just breaking off. But here's what's bad. It's not that this is, you know, in and of itself, the largest iceberg in history, the size of a state. What's bad is that this is what was butting up against the actual glaciers in Antarctica, which are huge, sometimes 2 miles deep, and that are at an angle like anywhere from, let's say, a 5 to a 15 degree slant going into the ocean. Well, if you have something up against it, it can't go into the ocean. And suddenly that breaks off and there's nothing holding it back, then you can have gigantic ice sheets going in with melting, because it's melting from underneath and it's melting on top. And there's also lakes trapped in the middle of the ice. So when that starts to go off, then you're going to get your big ice into the water that was never there. Remember, ice cubes melting in a glass of water do not increase the water in the glass. But now if you have a full glass and you put a pound of ice in, it's going to spill over. So we can look forward to this happening very shortly in the next month or two, three. And then that means that all that glaciers are going to go in over a period of time. So that should give us concern. And that's from our environmental update today. And then I have this that I thought was important. And this is about water scarcity in the Fertile Crescent. This is from Gary Bush from Op-Ed News. I'll quote it. One of the precipitating causes of the war in Syria was the increasing scarcity of water in the Tigris-Euphrates Basin as a result of climate change and the deliberate policies of weaponization of water supplies by Turkey and its neighbor states. Drought has had a firm grip in the region since 1998, and the recent dry spell is likely the driest period on record in 900 years, and almost certainly the worst drought in 500 years. The drought during 2005 caused 75% of Syria's farms to fail and 85% of livestock to die between 2006 and 11, that's according to the United Nations. The collapse in crop yields forced as many as 1.5 million Syrians to migrate to urban centers like Homs and Damascus. The projections for the region show a continuing drying trend throughout the coming century as climate change contributes to a shift in circulation patterns. That means what's happening there now could just be the start of more prolonged, more severe drought. In a region already racked by water scarcity and conflict, more drying could ratchet up tension even further. It was the continuing crisis over water which provided the backdrop to the Syrian crisis. And by 2011, drought-related crop failures in Syria had pushed up to 1.5 million displaced farmers to abandon their land. Those displaced farmers became a wellspring of recruits for the Free Syrian Army, those of the jihadists, and for such groups as Islamic State, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda. Testimonies gathered by reporters and activists in conflict zones suggest that the lack of government help during the drought was a central motivating factor in the anti-government rebellion in Syria. In other words, drought changed the economic, social, and political landscape of Syria, Iraq, already reeling from Daesh and sectarian tension, was next. Then goes on to talk about this. So what we have is in that whole area of the world. Now also it's reported that it's in the Mediterranean. Here are the places that are not sustainable for the future. All of, except for the coast, all of Spain, Portugal, much of Italy, Greece, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and all the other states, they're running out of water. So what is the solution? Here's the solution. If Assad had not had to put all of his resources into saving his regime from the United States, the CIA, the British, the French, the Saudis, Bahrainians, he would have been able to have put desalinization plants on the water. By putting those desalinization plants on the water, he could have then taken those lines and put them throughout the country into areas that are not near the water. And that would have cost him several billion dollars for doing that. But at least it would have given irrigation back to those valleys and been able to get the crops growing again and people moving back to the country. So there is a solution. And now he has to rebuild the country from the ravages caused by the United States and the CIA and these other countries. He will get some support from Russia and from Iran in the rebuilding, possibly some from Turkey that was instrumental in this. Turkey, by the way, just so you all understand, almost every single conflict in the area, Turkey has been participating in it. They've got a virtual dictator in power there. He and his family run one of the most klepto-pro organizations in the world. So how long he survives in power and what he does to continue what he's doing in his hegemonic overreach, we don't know. But all those countries are going to have to put their money into desalinization plants and to refertilize areas that are not, because they have no place to put all those people. There's no way you can migrate these people and replant them somewhere else in the world. There's just no more room. So they've got to start thinking about stopping the wars, stopping the conflicts, stopping the militarization, and start desalinization and hydroponics. In fact, if Assad put 100 one-acre greenhouses growing hydroponically in each city, he could feed the entire population. So that's the good news. I'm Gary Noll, and in a moment we're going to be taking your calls on our talkback segment, and you can call in and ask any question you want or make any statement you feel we would benefit from and grow from. Empowering statements or insights are always welcome. Our number is 888-874-4888. But before then, just to give you an idea of how much fake news has been created historically and has only gotten worse, and why you cannot automatically trust any news source, alternative or mainstream, unless you independently verify, here's an audio clip about how the CIA and the person you're listening to is the former director of the CIA, acknowledging fake news.
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organizations in your final report?
That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
Would you say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
Much more careful. So, yes, the head of CBS News was saying, what do we know now from the church committee? We know that all the networks and all the major magazines, Time, Life, all were cooperating, not just cooperating in having the CIA give them stories, but also coaching them, actually going on their payroll and having false credentialed so-called journalists that were actually CIA operatives. And that has not stopped. That's only expanded. So they're everywhere. At one time, there were 1,300 resources from the CIA who had infiltrated every form of media. And by the way, for those who don't believe that any of the conflict at Pacifica is due to anything other than poor management, poor programming, and no one having professional experience in their given field, how about adding into that mix, which I agree with, how about adding into that mix provocateur agents, people who are there claiming to be part of, you know, some movement that's positive, but are really there just to cause disharmony and conflict and internecine battles. So anyhow, I thought you'd like to hear that. Now let's go over and we'll say hello to Craig from Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Gary. Been listening to you for a really long time, so long that along with your friend Luann, my wife and I have risen a completely natural, organic child. He's now 11 years old. We were on a completely natural diet, including your vitamins, for 2 years before he was conceived. I'm calling you today because I have a question about continuing his path in development and specifically maintaining defenses to environmental and dietary stressors that are out of our control, particularly when he goes to school and other places like that. And he doesn't always have access to the normal tools and clean foods and so forth that we like to give him at home. I wanted to hear your thoughts on that moving forward. Also, he's a very skinny guy, very active, loves to play soccer. He is thriving. He aces all of his, state and national tests. He's on top of the world when it comes to his academics, and everybody that we know or comes in contact with him just loves him as a person. So the concern there is, as he moves toward puberty in the coming years through middle school, do you have any advice to basically maintain a more natural weight for him?
Okay, several issues you've raised. Let's go through them. First and foremost, being lean, wiry, and strong is the ideal. And just encourage him to keep himself healthy and happy by doing the things in competitive sports or recreational sports that will keep him vigorous. It also allows social bonding. Some of the best friends you're going to have in life are ones that you're engaged in athleticism with, the people you don't forget. And so that's a very important way of bonding. It's like going hiking, going on a survival quest, which I very much encourage people to do, where you're out with a friend or a group or family, and you're not doing it for comfort. In fact, you exclude comfort. You do it because you want to commune with nature, be close to nature, and see how wonderful nature is. There's new studies showing the trees talk with each other, trees that can actually share an immune system via all of their root systems to other trees. So when another tree is sick, other trees around them will try to help that sick tree and can create certain chemicals in their whole system and share it. Who knew this? But this is the new science, that we look and say that, you know, if an animal is a sentient being, why couldn't a tree be? So when you're out in nature and you're not there to destroy it, to alter, but rather to appreciate and bond with it, that is very healthy. So the more you can get your son out into nature, the better it's going to be for his development and for his character development. And then keep encouraging both of you, by example that one day every week, go out into the community and serve the community with your son being present. Because when the son sees that you care enough about the people in this world, especially those who have less, that will mitigate the need for a selfish perspective. It gives him an empathetic perspective. So if you go to kitchens, community kitchens, and you serve the poor, and then have your son go around and watch as you go around and talk with these people to bear witness to their stories. Sometimes we think that people have no stories. They just ended up poor, destitute. And just talking with them can really make them feel a whole lot better. So the ability to sit and talk with someone, to listen to their background, that connects you to them. And otherwise, people walk right by them on the street. If you do this and you do it consistently, your son will then learn that a part of what it means to grow is also to grow more aware of the world around him. Then you've got to, every parent should, if they can, get out into other cultures around the world. The more that we travel, the more that we learn, not staying in expensive hotels, not going to tourist attractions, but rather going to where people live in their neighborhoods, talking with them, befriending them, then your greater awareness of how common we all are, the common thread. George Leonard, who I knew, Mimi Leonard, is his daughter, who's a wonderful activist and motivator on her own. She was married to Jerry Rubin, who was a close friend of mine. And what you do is you show your connection by people by what you share with them. So even if you have things that are not the same, your language, your diet, your ethnicity, your age, what do you have in common that you can share? Laughter? Yes. The love of children? Yes. The importance of family, our hobbies? People love to share this with you. It's a part of them. They want you to become involved. So get your kid to get away from the idea that life is all about school, grades, testing, and achievement. It's not. That just prepares your kid for being another gifted, entitled person that may turn the wrong way and become a self-absorbed, selfish, narcissistic brat, which certainly happens by the time they're in high school, especially high-level achievers. Because a high-level achieving child today will be as influenced by their peers and the social contract of the network as they will by their parents, unless you're very careful and you temper that. That life isn't about how many trophies you have or how many awards you win or how your grades are. It's about how connected you are with the least of all. And that's where you have to really insert yourself by example. So what you and your wife do together as a family, where he's able to participate, then he is still in his developmental stage, his character is still being molded, he will be measurably wiser than others who have not had that opportunity. Will it take an effort? Yes. Will you have to change your schedules to do that? Yes. To get into nature, to have him take a botany class, to have him take an herbology class, to have him take a gardening class, to have him help feed the homeless, to go out and learn from people who otherwise have less than he does. You've got 2.5 million homeless children. Think of what you could do if you could find one of those homeless parents with homeless children and help them in some way where he's actually doing it. He's integrating, he's relating one child who's homeless with a child who's not, and the child who is not homeless suddenly realizes, wow, boy, there for the grace of God go I, and you. So that's what you have to do, in my opinion. Does that make sense to you?
It most certainly does, Gary. What about other environmental stressors? My first question, you know, some of the things that are out of control for us. Do you have any thoughts
okay,
on
what
that?
You do, yes, you want to keep yourself into as clean an environment as possible. So you shouldn't be living near a nuclear power plant. I know someone who's living 8 miles from Indian Point, who has cancer, who's overweight, who's stressed, who's making a lot of money and won't give it up. So then the question is, which will kill this person quicker? Their belief system and their insecurity because of what they're not willing to give up, or are they willing to surrender everything and to work on themselves? Belief systems either strengthen you or they defeat you more than anything else. So focus upon, no matter what you have to sacrifice, get into progressive communities, get around healthy environment, get close to clean nature, and then your son will be fine. You don't want to live in a toxic environment and take a lot of nutrients thinking somehow you're compensating. You don't. All the best to you. Nice to hear from you. Joyce from North Carolina. Hi, Joyce, your turn.
Hi, Gary. Gary, I love your show. I love you so much. I've been listening for 30-something years, and you have helped my family a great deal. I have a girlfriend that you called a couple of years ago. Her husband passed, and you was talking to her. But now she had some angst stains on her breast, but she got lumps in her breast, and she had called Luann, but she had her breast removed.
Why?
But she don't want, why did she have it removed?
Why?
She was told to have it removed.
Unless she had an actual cancer that could metastasize, she's never had the breast removed. In fact, over 1.5 million American women have had healthy breasts removed because the doctor did not do the test to determine, is it in situ? Is it a real carcinoma, cancer? What is it?
And they said she had cancer.
Okay, but in and of itself, that doesn't tell me a lot. But, okay, where is she today in her journey?
Well, she had her breast removed, and now she don't want to take radiation or chemo. And she wanted to know what would be the best route for her to go with that.
Okay. I don't tell people what not to do because I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell her what she can do. First, understand it is better to try to have the body's natural defense mechanism, especially its natural killer cells, go into the body and start to repair the damaged DNA to protect the body from any of the free-floating cancer cells that are in the body. And for that, you want to have no sugar, no caffeine at all. You don't want any of the animal products, so you go on a strictly vegan, healthy diet. Now, there's plenty to eat with all the beans and legumes and nuts and seeds. No more fried foods, because fried foods, animal proteins, dairy products, and genetically modified foods, all of those contribute to the pathogenesis of cancer. On top of that, there are certain nutrients that really help the body. One, the best of all, top of my list would be curcumin, generally at very high dosages, 5 to 10,000 milligrams. And divided doses, vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C, starting about 30 to 35,000 milligrams and going up. Aqueal vitamin A with vitamin C, glutathione pushes. Also B12, and then the cruciferous vegetables. Broccoli, cauliflower, dandelion greens, mustard, Swiss chard, and radishes. Then the shiitake mushrooms, maitake mushrooms, reishi mushrooms, especially the maitake defraction. Very important. Then I would look at echinacea, pau d'arco, and astragalus to keep the immune system strong. And indole-3-carbinol, I-3-C, and isothiocyanates. Now, these are chemicals naturally found in broccoli sprouts, which I would have a whole box of broccoli sprouts as part of a salad each day. Juicing, the carotenoids, very important for your eyes, yes. Zeaxanthin and lutein, but also, and lycopene, but also I would add in to having the important carotenoids, I would have a mixed juice. The anti-cancer juice would be green apple, beets, spinach, celery, and also watermelon. Those are all very powerful. Chewing on watermelon seeds, chewing on pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. Coconut oil is very important. All of those are crucial to maintaining a healthy immune system with a good diet, clean water, and exercise every day. The more exercise, here's the rule. Cancer does not like high oxygen. So therefore, when you're exercising vigorously and aerobically, you are helping your body deal with cancer. But cancer loves and thrives in a fermentative medium. So when you're more sedentary, you got problems. Okay?
Her blood pressure stays low. It keeps dropping. And she don't understand that.
Well, for that, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. We're at the end of our show. But I will address that if you call back on my next talk back, and I'll deal with what to do if you have high blood pressure and what to do if you have low blood pressure. Okay? We're out of time now. Hopefully you can share that with them. And also, I produced an award-winning documentary that you can go up on YouTube and watch, and it's 3.5 hours long, called Preventing and Treating Cancer Naturally. Joyce from North Carolina, thank you for calling in. And I want to thank all of you for taking your time today to listen in and share with us. I look forward to sharing more on the next program. Have a nice day, everyone.